This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
Hi, Gail. Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and twice a month we join you to talk politics in the Four Corners area. As usual, we start with headlines. Gail?
U.S. Highway 550 over Red Mountain Pass was closed Monday night because of a continuous rock fall 2 miles south of Ouray. The Colorado Department of Transportation said since a closure earlier Monday, rubble had continued to rain down, with rocks up to 6 inches in diameter covering the road for about 200 feet. The local economy appears to be picking up. The Cortez City Council was scheduled to review a site plan Tuesday night for a Hampton Inn to be built on the southeast corner of Hawkins and Main Street. It is estimated that construction of the 74-room hotel could pump $3.4 million into the local economy, and the hotel could provide jobs for 15 to 20 people long term. The city council was also slated to take up plans for the Safeway store in Cortez, which is thinking of putting in a fueling station. When the original plan for the supermarket was approved in 2000, the intent then was to include gas pumps. In the future, a portion of the Safeway property east of the parking lot is being proposed to be converted into an errands store. And the Montezuma County Economic Development Association has named its officers for the next year. Former Cortez Journal editor Susie Meyer will serve as chair, while Axis Health Systems CEO Bern Heath will be vice chair. Citizens State Bank President Larry McGee will be treasurer, and Montezuma County Planning Director Susan Carver was chosen secretary. The MCEDA is a public and private partnership that promotes and coordinates economic development in Montezuma County. And a proposed measure designed to aid native fish on the Lower Dolores River was criticized by numerous representatives of local water districts at a workshop last week on management of the river. The Bureau of Land Management and Colorado Parks and Wildlife have asked the Colorado Water Conservation Board for an in-stream flow on a 35-mile section of the river from its confluence with the San Miguel River downstream to Gateway. The flow would be variable, but would go up to 900 cubic feet per second for 2 months every year. Water managers voiced concern about where the additional flows would come from.
Thanks, Gail. We will start with economic development today. This will be kind of a Colorado-centric show, but looks like lots of development happening here in Cortez. And the new hotel, the high school, obviously, is, how many rooms is that hotel?
74 rooms.
74 rooms. So seems like a big hotel. And only $3 million, and then the high school is $55 million. I thought, wow, for some reason, I guess I thought the hotel would be bigger, but.
Well, even $3.4 million that helps.
No, I'm not scratching at it. There are rumors out there that there's a Starbucks coming to Safeway as well in the Cortez area.
I've heard those rumors too, and haven't been able to confirm them, but. It's interesting because for a long time, as we know, Commissioner Steve Chappell has talked about how much he wants to see a Starbucks in Cortez, and it looks like there's a possibility his dream might come true.
Right, and this was in the context, as I recall, the public conversation that the commissioner had, is that the idea was the Starbucks would be a sign of economic development or would be a driver of economic development, one of those two, or maybe both.
Yes, I think that's true. It's obviously a recognizable name. And so it sounds like the Safeway is planning to get going on some of these things that may have originally proposed and that hadn't come to fruition yet.
That'll take us to something like 7 espresso shops in Cortez, which is almost as many banks as we have.
Well, that's true. But, you know, there's probably a need for coffee as much as there is a need for financial management in Cortez under current economic situation. But back to the Hampton Inn, I think one of the interesting things is that the council at least was considering what kind of aid to give this development, because, as you know, they try to promote economic development by giving certain tax breaks or something like that to new businesses that come to town. But they also were concerned because they didn't want to give some kind of break to the Hampton Inn that would make it, you know, more competitive than it should be with existing hotels, the ones that have been here for a long time. So what the staff had proposed was that the Hampton would get no sales or property tax rebates, but would get a discount on the city's inspection fees, on use taxes, and on the city water tap.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. At the time we're recording this, we actually don't know the results of what the council did, but they were scheduled to take that up last night.
I think it's interesting to note that with the Montezuma Community Economic Development Association has got their annual meeting, I believe, yesterday when we went to tape in Mancos, and that's an organization set up to try to coordinate economic development. Who with the city, we don't have an economic development staff person with the city. It's handled at the staff level, maybe the manager's office or something?
Yes, I think, you know, the manager is the one that sort of handles that and various people on the staff with him. But I don't think there's a person specifically named to do that. Now, as you know, there's been several iterations of this one is the Montezuma Community Economic Development Association, but in the past there was a Montezuma County Economic Development Council, I believe, and different groups, and that was funded primarily by the city and the county, I believe. This is more of a, it is a public-private partnership, but I think it has a stronger private element trying to boost the local economy. We'll see if, with these new officers, if they're able to keep the ball rolling. A lot of people, I think, are very pleased to see the Hampton Inn coming because it's been a while since there's been a new hotel or motel in Cortez.
And yet there's a need. Charlie DeLorme, who is head of economic development and tourism, visited with us here on the Zine last week.
You should mention, where is he from?
I'm so south of, I didn't say that. San Juan County,
Utah. Utah, yes.
You're shaking your head.
Yeah.
So anyway, Charlie was saying there is a lack of hotel space for the upper end client, that four and five star, and certainly the new hotel is not going to be that. So it would be, and it sounds like there's a demand for that also in the region. I know there's a new four star or four ish star facility in Bluff that is getting some traction. So I think what I was asking about, who's the staff person, who's thinking about this when it comes to the city of Cortez, is who is thinking about this and who's got this on their plate full time to sort of look at, oh, there's a need for a four or five star facility. We need to have more rooms for, 75 new rooms, right? And looking at demand for Cortez and putting together a comprehensive plan. Or are we reactive to, there's a big hotel chain that wants to come in, and so when they come in, we'll do what we can to accommodate them. But it doesn't feel like it's part of a broader plan to create the space or place for economic development.
That's an interesting point. Do we have someone like Charlie DeLorme? I'm not sure that there is someone comparable to him here. As you know, San Juan County, Utah has a very aggressive tourism marketing campaign. I mean, and of course we have tourism efforts and
yeah,
so
Mesa
on.
Verde Country does,
yes.
And they even partner with the office in San Juan County, Utah.
But as far as just pure economic development, I'm not sure. Now, the MCEDA and Region 9 have hired Chris Burkett part-time, mm-hmm. of course, to do some work for them.
And their focus, which I had a chance to interview them recently, is that they're going to largely focus on building business from within here in our community as it is today. How can we expand that, help find new markets or help those businesses grow? I should say, if you've just joined us, this is Talking Heads, and we are talking. Jeff Pope here with Gail Binkley. Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and we're pontificating about economic development in Southwest Colorado and specifically here in Cortez. You know, when the city council is asked to go ahead and make accommodations on fees for water and fees for
inspections.
That feels very ad hoc, and I wonder if that's the best position that the city should be in, rather than having somebody in a position of economic development that says, look, this is the leeway I have, this is what I can negotiate, and it's part of a broader plan. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I mean, I think that this is probably just handled by the city manager more than anyone else, and that's part of his role. So I think some of that's taken on there. And they have extended various breaks to like a dozen different businesses in the past, so this isn't unprecedented. That
how do they decide who gets what? You know, does everybody get a?
Well, it sounded like pretty much everybody. I was looking at the list in the council packet, and there's been a number of businesses that have received some kind of assistance or some kind of break. But they are cognizant of the fact that they don't want to favor new businesses over the ones that have been here, and that there's a need to be good to the ones that have been your bread and butter for so long, too. So
it's certainly a tough call because it's also political, you know, which maybe that's a good reason for it to go to council, because the council members are
a diverse group.
They're a diverse group, and they're voted in. They're accountable to the taxpayers and the voters. This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope, and here with Gail Binkley. She's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. We're going to be back after this short break. Stay with us. We're back. This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail is the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and we're talking politics as usual on the second, third Wednesday of the month. Is it second, third Wednesday already?
It's the, yeah.
Wow.
I know, time flies.
It does. Happy New Year. We're going to switch gears from economic development and talk about the Dolores River. And this is the issue of more water in the Dolores River and where does it come from, and the controversy therein. So bring us up to speed with the latest and the discussion there.
Well, this discussion that was covered in the Cortez Journal occurred at a workshop that was attended by like 70 to 80 people last week. It was called the Dolores River Management Coordination Workshop, and it was for people from all up and down the Dolores River. So not just here in Montezuma County or Dolores County, but further north, but also downstream. So it's sometimes difficult to know whether you're talking about up or down on the Dolores River. Anyway, there's been several things that have happened recently regarding the Dolores that have caused concern among local water managers. And one of them is this proposal that I mentioned in the headline by the Bureau of Land Management and Colorado Parks and Wildlife. They've asked the state for what's called an in-stream flow on 34 miles of the river, not here, but from its confluence with the San Miguel and then downstream to Gateway. Okay, and at its peak, this in-stream flow would be 900 CFS, which is pretty high.
So the idea is that the request is to have water in the stream as it gets to the San Juan or San Miguel River?
No, it would be from where the San Miguel pours into the Dolores and then downstream from there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And they're saying most of this water would come from the San Miguel River during runoff, that sort of thing. Local water managers are concerned that if this water right is granted to the state, even though it would be a junior water right, it could still result in a need or a demand for water from the Dolores project at some point. The whole point of this, the reason they're proposing it, is that they're trying to aid native fish species that are in the lower Dolores. There's three of those species that a bunch of local states and state agencies, state wildlife agencies and so on, have agreed to try to help. It's like a six-state conservation agreement for these three native species, and they've signed on to this in the past. There's great concern that one or more of these species could at some point in time become listed as threatened or endangered. Okay. So there's a species called the round-tailed chub on the Lower Dolores, and that's kind of between McPhee. Well, anyway, it's between McPhee and down to the San Miguel confluence. Excuse me. And then there's two other species that are down there, two kind of suckers that are doing a little bit better down there. Okay, well, another concern that has been brought up by local water districts is that in the new plan that we've talked about that was released by the San Juan National Forest and Tres Rios Field Office, the final plan that they issued recently, they named these two sucker species as important values on the Lower Dolores River, when before they had only named the chub. Now, this sounds extremely bizarre and arcane, but this is of concern to water managers because the two sucker species are not doing very well on the stretch of the Lower Dolores that's in our area, whereas the round-tailed chub is doing better. So the water managers are saying, look, if you name these fish as special values that we have to conserve, then, you know, we're going to have to take some more water out of McPhee and put it down the river. And this is a big concern to the local ag economy, to, you know, irrigators and other water users. So they were very concerned about this. They protested it. And there was a lot of discussion about this at this meeting, as well as discussion about this in-stream flow proposal, which is designed, again, to help these native fish.
If you just joined us, this is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope here with Gail Binkley. Just one little point of clarification. So the Tres Rios Office and the Forest Service, they named these two valuable, they named these two species as high value in the area from McPhee to the San Miguel.
The confluence
of the San Miguel.
Yes.
And those two fish are doing, these two new fish that
the two kinds
named,
of suckers, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well below the San Miguel.
Yes.
But not too good above the San Miguel.
Yes.
And so the concern is, I'm picking it up. And so the water managers are concerned that they might be asked to put more water down there to make this fish survive.
And, to keep them going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now, on the other hand, the state and the federal agencies are saying, you know, look, we're concerned about U.S. Fish and Wildlife coming down on this area, and if they would do that, and if they would say that one or more of these fish is endangered or threatened, and this is critical habitat for that species, then, you know, then there will be water taken to preserve them, and we're trying to prevent that from happening. So we're trying to do it through our own measures. We're trying to help them. This in-stream flow that they want is, you know, like I said, it would vary over the year, but there's a certain time of the year when these fish normally had these big peak flows before the dam was built. And so they're saying we're trying to reproduce these conditions that they evolved under, and we want them to have these high flows at a certain time of year and lesser flows at other times. It's all, you know, very controversial, and I'm kind of grossly oversimplifying it. These fish aren't actually right below McPhee. Right below McPhee is very cold water, and mm-hmm. so there's trout there and so on, but it's in that reach and on down to the San Miguel River. So these things are... They were discussed very, you know, courteously and with great civility at the meeting, but there's strong feelings on both sides about them.
Yeah, and when we see the amount of water that we've had this winter is below as last year, and even though we had a wet fall, the predictions are not for a very wet winter, and last year was a tough year. In terms of irrigators, most irrigators had a tough time getting in, didn't get all their crops in, the hay crops, for example.
It's really going to be interesting to see what this winter winds up with, because right now they say that the snowpack is just about normal, but it was above normal not too long ago, and it's just gone down. I was seeing on the nightly news the other night that there's a phenomenon where the Pacific currents are warm right now, and they're causing the jet stream to go farther north, and so most of the American West is in a severe drought this winter and not getting a lot of snow and not expected to. Now, that said, we did have some snow in the higher country recently, so we will see. But with these temperatures this warm, once again, you may have the phenomenon of the snow melt coming down early and a lot of it evaporating, and so we'll see what we wind up with in the reservoir.
So the 900 cubic feet that's being asked for below the confluence, how do you tie that to the concern upstream water users have with the two suckerfish that are having trouble between these two areas? Because these are different requests.
They're different requests, but...
And should they be bundled, or should they be kept separately?
Well, the water managers definitely bundle them in their minds. And Mike Preston, the director of the Dolores Water Conservancy District, the general manager, I should say, made the comment at the meeting that to water managers it feels like a quote-unquote full-court press on the reservoir. So they're concerned that in combination, these different things, even though they're evolved separately, that all these different things could result in water being taken from the reservoir for fish that would normally go to irrigators, and that's always a concern.
Hmm. When will this be resolved? When will we know more about how this will advance?
Well, the two federal agencies, the Forest Service and BLM, are scheduled to their Washington offices are making decisions on these various protests, as we talked about last time. So that will kind of resolve the issue of how many of these fish are named as special values on the Lower Dolores. The request for the in-stream flow has a long process ahead of it at the state level, whereby many parties can comment and appeal and so on, and then eventually the board has to decide whether it's going to grant this flow or not.
And when you say long, are you talking about like a decade long?
Oh, not a decade, no, but like a year or two, mm-hmm. something like that. So that will be, yes, sorted out in probably this year in 2015, as I understand it.
And when it comes to the fish that are being that have a higher value now, when could that come to a head?
That's, like I said, that's what was going to be decided by the Forest Service and BLM at their Washington, D.C. level.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I had understood that it had already been decided. No, the protest is they're lodging a protest to say, no, this is these shouldn't be considered valuable species.
Yeah, because they already decided that they should be in their plan. And so these are like last-ditch appeals to the federal offices of these agencies.
Mm. What's your – do you want to care to make a prediction?
Boy, no, I wouldn't care to make a prediction. And you have to understand, too, that the BLM and the Forest Service will decide separately, so it's possible one could decide one thing and one could decide something else, too.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
That would be interesting.
All right, we're going to wrap up the show today with predictions again. As many of you know from last week's show, Gail Binkley correctly predicted that her beloved Denver Broncos... Beloved, right?
Oh yes, I think that's a fair term.
Fair term would beat the Bolts, and they certainly did in fine fashion. This week, though, what do you see they're going to have to do to take on Tom Brady and beat the Patriots?
Well, the Broncos seem to have this sort of third quarter letdown in a lot of their games, and that's all I'm going to say is they can't do that against Tom Brady. They're going to have to be ahead by 30 or 40 points going into the fourth quarter, or Tom Brady will come from behind and win. So
you look a little anxious.
I'm definitely anxious. Yes. It should be a good matchup, though, between two great quarterbacks.
Yeah, it really should be. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for Talking Heads and all of our football predictions. You want to make a spread?
Oh, no, I don't this time.
Not going to jinx it.
I'm not going to take a chance.
Okay, that's going to wrap it up for Talking Heads. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned to KSJD for all your news, information, and entertainment. We'll